organize the block, organize the block. You want poverty to stop? We must organize the block, organize the block, organize the block. First things first, organize the block. I'll be okay, I just gotta demonstrate. I'll be on my way, just make sure the bail is paid. Nobody wants to go to jail. I'm trying to build real schools, but for us to do that, we have to break the rules. It's terrible, but it's true. It's unbearable when the poor go through. That's why we guzzle barrels of brew to ease the pain. Hustlers can't sell tears, so we smoke away fit. Addicted to the game, a few strike fame, but don't a damn thing change. But the cops' Glocks stretch the cellophane until it pops insane. When will this stop? You can't buy brains. These psychological chains got us on lock. But I'ma stretch them till they pop. First things first, organize the block. Organize the block. You tired of the cops? Tired of the cops? Organize the block. Organize the block. You want poverty to stop? We must organize the block. Organize the block. Organize the block. First things first, organize the block. This world wanna bring out the worst of me. Certainly I'm armed, but not with rosary. So free, currently religion can't hold me. Solely it's up to me to set my soul free. Revolution, I shout boldly. Yes, this is the road I lead, but is it best for me? Especially with killing true leaders that ain't specialty. What am I to do? Now ahead of knowledge is freedom I pursue. I work to organize the youth, expose U.S. democracy as hypocrisy and treat psychological abuse. Death is the only thing destined. The future I invest in, only human, so I gotta get my rest in. Bleeding and sweating, plus the constitution I'm wrestling. My life's on the line, who's betting? I'm ready for war, knowledge is my weapon. Organize the block, organize the block. First things first, organize the block. You tired of the cops? Tired of the cops? Organize the block, organize the block. You want poverty to stop? We must organize the block, organize the block, organize the block. First things first.
Organize the Block right here on WPFW 89.3 FM, Midday Jazz and Justice. I'm Jared Ball, your host, here with you every Monday from 1 to 3 p.m. and happy to be so on this liberated masses medium. We are joined this afternoon by two members of the Baltimore City chapter of the Algebra Project, talking about mathematics, social organization, and the history of political struggle, for that matter. We're joined by Daya Allen and Chris Goodman. And Chris, I think you know a little bit about that last track. Why don't you tell us what we were just listening to?
Oh, yeah, that's Organize the Block, you know, from my second mixtape, What I Write Is Scary.
Excuse me. I'm
working on some new things, some new projects, so you'll hear a lot more from me real soon, real soon. And I'm going by Comrade now.
Okay.
Comrade. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw a little bit of that on because we have, you know, a varied, talented group of people. Very varied talented group of people. You're one of them, and I just wanted to highlight that a little bit. Just quickly, so people understand what was happening on that track. What you've done with that album, or that mixtape, What I Rap About Is Scary, is you've taken beats that were used in more popular traditional songs and turned them into something more relevant. Is that correct?
Exactly. Like the most recent mixtape I put out called Radio Takeover, which really fits into the title, where I just took that Beyonce Ego track and I just flipped that to Power to the People. Because when I heard that, you know, I got a big ego, I just heard Power to the People.
Right.
Yeah, so I just flipped that. So, yeah, that's the concept behind my mixtapes. Take these songs, you know, bring some meaning to them, you know, make it relate to what's going on in the day-to-day struggle.
By the way, when we played Russell Gunn's song a little bit ago, Stranger Fruit, there was a reference made to it. I want to say that's Jill Scott on the track. I'm not sure, though, but I have to check. If anybody knows, please let me know. That's from Russell Gunn's Ethnomusicology album, Volume 3, from 2003, sort of a remix on the classic Strange Fruit. But they mentioned Martial Law. Was something that would be coming down the line and something to be watchful of. I want to, if I could, just take a moment and address people's attention to DC's Indie Media website, where you can see video from this past weekend's G20 protests. And it looks a lot like martial law, if not officially here, is right around the corner. The way the police are laid out in stormtrooper-like outfits and tear gassing and using sound as a barrier. Mm. These new speakers on their whatever their riot geared trucks are outfitted with these speakers that put out this sound that is you can hear it in one of the videos that are on DC Indie Media's website, and it's clearly, you know, it's successful. I mean, it makes you want to turn off your speakers when you're listening, and I'm sure it makes people who are there want to get away. But these are just, you know, mostly white middle class college students out there protesting, being tear gassed and locked up. There's another video of people in camouflage throwing a student in the back of a car and whisking away. I mean, all kinds of spooky things that just look. I'm sure there's a rational answer and response from our government, I'm sure, were they to be asked. But it just looked awfully spooky. It looked dangerous and much like a martial law situation. So I hope people would check that out, DC Indie Media, and we appreciate them for the work that they do. This is Midday Jazz and Justice. I'm Jared Ball, your host. More importantly, this is WPFW 89.3 FM, and we're talking about the Algebra Project this afternoon with two guests from the Baltimore chapter, Daya Allen and Chris Goodman, who are in the studio. And at 2 o'clock, we're going to have a special guest join the show. So we invite people to stick around, of course, for that and more. So don't go anywhere. But we do have a caller who's been waiting patiently. Caller, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the air with your comment for our guest. Welcome.
Hello, how you doing?
As well as can be expected.
This is the first time I'm calling in to WPFW. I've been listening for a long while. But I had a call. I just heard that song that Organized the Block song was just too real to me. So I was like, I had to call in and find out, you know, where can I get a copy of that mixtape, song, something. I need that in my CD player right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we do here at WPFW. We break stuff that you have to have in your CD player right now. That's the whole point of what we do with the station. Chris, how can they get in touch with you for more information about the work you're involved in and your mixtape?
Yeah, man. So hit me up on the cell 443-957-5346. Again, that's 443-957-5346. And also the website that I'm working on, it's www.chris, C-H-R-I-S, the blindfolded visionary. So that's Chris, theblindfoldedvisionary.com. So hit me up on the cell, because, you know, that's a throwback mixtape right there, so I can get you that, definitely.
Caller, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the air on WPFW 89.3 FM. Caller? And caller.
On the Facebook.
Yeah, sorry, caller. Start again for us. We were cut off. Start again for us, please.
I just want to say blessed love to all the PFW listeners. Brother Ball, I cited on the Facebook that it's D.I.'s birthday, so we just want to say blessed love on your birthday.
Thank you very much.
And, yeah. It's refreshing to hear the youth with some positive hip-hop. I myself was raised on Chuck D and KRS-One, but we basically have exited that whole vibration on account of the misogyny and just violence that we hear 99% of the time, and switched over to Rastafari and conscious reggae music. But it's nice to hear the youth and tell them to keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you very much. And thank you for the birthday wishes as well. And don't go anywhere, because in the next hour, we're about to step aside, but in the next hour, not only do we have a special guest coming up, but we have, and what we try to do with this program is blend the jazz and the justice and blend the jazz and the other forms of cultural expression that are politically and culturally relevant. So I just want to let everybody know that many of my generation have said they have given up on hip hop because that good stuff that we were able to hear in our day is no longer available. But it is out there and it is available. And I even argue that a majority of the hip hop that is actually produced in this country and around the world is more culturally sustaining and politically progressive, which is not allowed to be played on the radio, which is, again, why WPFW is so important. And as we move into our winter pledge drive in the next couple of weeks, we hope people will show that appreciation as much as they can by supporting this show and this station with a little bit of financial support. But that good music is still being made. And we have a couple examples coming up in the next hour. Stickman from Dead Prez has a brand new track that we might even be giving you the exclusive first radio airing of in the next hour. And then some folks locally as well, the Cornell West Theory, we're going to air one of their tracks in the next hour as well. Just as more evidence of all the great music being made that you're just not allowed to hear from. So don't go anywhere. A lot more coming up right here on Midday Jazz and Justice. This is WPFW 89.3 FM. I'm Jared Ball, your host, back with you in just a minute. Special guest coming up in the next hour. A lot of more good music. And our guests, Daya Allen and Chris Goodman, of the Baltimore City chapter of the Algebra Project.
We also know that we have a problem in this country. And that is that we are experiencing income inequality like we have almost never experienced in this country before. Poverty in the United States is a problem. It is a problem for us today. In fact, U.S. mayors just recently issued a report saying that hunger and homelessness are intensifying in our cities across our country. Nobody's talking very much about eliminating poverty. But I can tell you, if we can spend $720 million a day on war, then certainly we can put a huge dent in the poverty that is experienced in this country.
WPFW 89.3 FM, Midday Jazz and Justice, back in a moment. A little bit of Freedom Sound from the Jazz Crusaders Freedom Sound album. Right here on Midday Jazz and Justice, WPFW 89.3 FM. And before that, just a little bit of DJ Rock Raider on the ones and twos, and Glenn Ford from Black Agenda Report on the mic. Welcome back, everybody, to this program. Getting into the second hour, and we're joined this afternoon by members of the Baltimore City Chapter of the Algebra Project, Daya Allen and Chris Goodman. And we are now joined by phone by our very special guest, Dr. Bob Moses, has been able to grab a few moments of his time and to join us. So welcome, Dr. Moses, to the program. Thank you for taking the time.
All right, thanks.
We've talked a little bit about this in the first hour, some of the history and the origins of the Algebra Project, and some of our callers and have been bringing up a lot of interesting questions and comments for our guests here in the studio. Maybe you could add a little bit to it. We've read the basic, background and history of the Algebra Project, but if I could, hear again from the horse's mouth, so to speak, why did you feel that this was necessary to move from a more traditional civil rights agenda to something that, to many people, sounds a bit odd for somebody with your background to be involved in?
Well, actually, I got into it looking at my own children. My wife Jen and I, we have four children. And when we were, the three oldest were born in Tanzania, and we got back to this country in 76. And taking a look at my job in the family was to work with them on their math, and I had already started. When we got back, our oldest was 6 years old, so we had four kids, six and under. And looking at the math in the public school they were enrolled, getting ready to enroll in, I decided that I should keep working with them at home. So I was doing that all through their elementary grades. And when my oldest daughter hit the eighth grade, she was ready to do algebra, but there was no algebra teacher. And so it was the same year I got the MacArthur Fellowship. So she didn't want to keep doing what she called my math at home. So we made an agreement, and I went in and taught her and three other young students, algebra. So that was in 1982, and I took a look around, and what struck me was the race and class. They had the traditional three tracks, so my daughter and three other kids, all white, were doing the algebra. And then they had a group that was sort of at on grade level, which was more mixed. And then lower class whites and blacks were below grade level. So around, at the same time, in those days, I was also looking at the issue of technology and computers and beginning to formulate the idea, which crystallized later, of that as we go forward, we were in a transition from industrial technology to information age technology, and the information age technology was going to bring in a new literacy, which was a quantitative literacy. And given the way our country is organized, it meant algebra was sort of the jumping off point into this new quantitative literacy. So my civil rights, you know, issues kicked in because in the 60s we were using the right to vote as an organizing tool, right? We were using it to get political access. So you can organize around anything. And so I then began organizing with some parents around using quantitative literacy, or in this case algebra, as an organizing tool for educational and economic access. And so if you think about what we did in the 60s, we were working the demand side of the right to vote. How do you get the sharecroppers to demand their rights? And of course, that was eminently successful with Fannie Lou Hamer and the Freedom Democratic Party in demanding that the national party structure open itself up. So here we're working with, I think of as the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of those of that era, asking them to make a demand on themselves, and then make a larger demand on the society for their educational rights.
All right, we're joined by Dr. Bob Moses, founder of the Algebra Project, and two of his Baltimore City chapter folks, Daya Allen and Chris Goodman. Dr. Moses, if you can, we have to step aside for a moment, then I'd like to open up the phones and get a couple callers a chance to dialogue with you and hear from your comrades here in the studio before we have to go for our next break, if that's all right.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot. So we're going to come back in just a moment. This is Midday Jazz and Justice. I'm Jared Ball, your host, here with you every Monday from 1 to 3 p.m. And this afternoon, along with some of the great music we've been trying to bring you, we are having a discussion about the Algebra Project, mathematics, social, and political organization. We're joined in studio by two young members of the Baltimore City chapter, Daya Allen and Chris Goodman. And we've just been joined by phone by the founder, Dr. Bob Moses. So welcome everybody back to the program. Those wanting to join the discussion can call 202-588-0893. Dr. Moses, we a number of things that have come up this afternoon that I'd like to get you to address. I read a quote from you earlier in the program where you said illiteracy in math is acceptable the way that illiteracy in reading and writing is unacceptable. Could I get you to expand on that just a little bit?
Well, I think up until the age of the computer, it was okay to go to college and say, well, I don't do math. Right. You couldn't go to college and say, well, I don't read. Right. But I think people just need to understand that the technology, computers, have brought in a new literacy which will function in the 21st and 22nd centuries that's coming up. In a manner which is similar to the way in which the industrial technology brought in reading and writing literacies. It was hard to access the economic arrangements of the industrial technology if you didn't have some fundamental ability to read and write. And so the sharecroppers in the Mississippi Delta were sort of the serfs in this country of our industrial technology, right? And, you know, I was on the witness stand in Greenville in 1963, the judge wants to know, why are we taking illiterates down to register to vote? And the answer basically is, well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have denied a whole people access to literacy through politics and then say they can't access politics because they're illiterate. Well, we're raising the serfs in our cities today of this information age technology. These kids, if they're graduating without these quantitative as well as reading and writing literacies, and they're headed for serfdom in the criminal justice system.
That's Dr. Bob Moses joining us this afternoon on Midday Jazz and Justice here on WPFW 89.3 FM. If I can, Daya and Chris, let me bring you back into the discussion because as Dr. Moses was just saying, I've heard elsewhere it discussed and described that what's happening in the school system is that we are growing serfs to serve in a modern day, you know, semi-feudal economic and social system. What is it that you've seemed to have extended here from the Algebra Project into something that is being called, you mentioned in the first hour, a National Student Bill of Rights? What is that, and how is that related to what we're talking about?
Well, right now we're working in solidarity to draft a National Student Bill of Rights for all youth that will become an unedifying document for youth nationwide and a driving force for youth movement building. And we're working with different groups all around the United States right now, such as the Philadelphia Student Union, the Progressive for Social Liberty in Washington, here in D.C. We're working with some students in Oakland and Salt Lake and all over just to start a student bill of rights so that students can have a written out list of different things that we as students need, such as a quality education as a constitutional right, jobs and a knowledge-based economy. Students should have free transportation, free college, updated textbooks, and school supplies provided to all students. Because I know, like in Baltimore, at one school, they have new books, but the updated president in one of their textbooks is Bill Clinton, and you know that's. That's unacceptable. Right now, our president is Obama, and Bill Clinton. That's too back today. It's not updated. So that's just some of the things that we're working on right now with different students all around.
I mean, it's got crazy stuff on here. You know, the rights should include a laptop for each student, clean and comfortable classrooms, no metal detectors or police occupying the schools. I mean, come on. I mean, that's, you know, Chris, that just seems a little ridiculous as something as a baseline request for students in 2009's high schools.
So yeah,
it's public schools, period.
It's really crazy because, you know, there's not soap in the bathrooms. You know, students have to ask to go to the restroom. Students can't really get to and from different activities and events. So right now we're in the process of connecting with students across the country because in Baltimore since 2004, we've been struggling. You know, we've talked to the principals, we've talked to the parents, we've talked to the city council, the school board, state school board, mayor, governor, everyone. And the critical point where we're at is that there's billions of dollars owed by law to Baltimore City Public Schools, and there's an actual court order, but it's being ignored, you know, by the governor, by the state superintendent of the schools. So that's why we really need to build this national movement, because there's cases like this all across the country. But if the courts isn't enforcing the Constitution, the state constitutions, which doesn't even get into quality. You know, a lot of state constitutions, their highest level that they go by is eighth grade. That's all the state is responsible for. And we're demanding a quality education, and we have to start talking about what quality means to us. So we really need a national movement because the courts have failed us, the school system has failed us, so we have to build that political power as young people, as people who love education and freedom.
Dr. Moses, hearing what these students and Baltimore Algebra Project members are talking about,